Hello, fight fans, and welcome to Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tom Zaffino. This week, I am breaking down UFC 287, Pereira vs. Adesanya, the rematch. This will be the fourth time these two have faced off, second time in the UFC, second time in MMA. So, it is an interesting fight, to say the least. Very interesting card. We have 13 fights on the card. A lot of well-known names that are underdogs on this card. So I do think ownership on DraftKings should be pretty mixed. A lot of good dogs that will definitely, people will not be afraid to click their names. And I'm not on all of those dogs, but I am on a handful. And I think this should be a fun one for us to watch. So again, 13 fights. Lock is 6 p.m. Not sure if I said that, but anyway, that's what it is. And we'll just jump right into it. Our first fight is in the women's strawweight division. We have Jacqueline Amorim taking on Sam Hughes. Amorim, a pretty good size favorite here. She is making her debut. She is 6-0 currently. She has all first round finishes. She is dangerous. Her submissions are very good. The worry for me here is Sam Hughes is, well, it's not really a worry. This is what I like about Sam Hughes. Sam Hughes, not the greatest fighter, but she is pretty durable. She has been submitted once in her career. It was in the fourth round of a championship fight against a very good submission fighter who is currently in the UFC. And the way I kind of see this fight playing out is Sam Hughes has to avoid the damage early. Well, not the damage, I guess, but the submission attempts of Amorim, which she is very slick with them. So she can catch, well, we'll see. I mean, she's making her debut, but she seems like she can catch a lot of people with her submission game. But Sam Hughes, also pretty strong, solid top game. So if Sam Hughes does get top control, or if she keeps the fight kind of standing, keeps it ugly, gets it into the later rounds, we'll see how the cardio plays out. We know Sam Hughes has the cardio. We know she's durable. She's willing to fight, even in fights where she's losing and she's getting pieced up on the feet. She's never afraid to go forward. She's always going forward. So taking a dog shot here right off the bat, we have, you know, women's MMA, relatively low-level fight, debuting fighter versus a fighter who's has now had four, I believe, fights in the UFC. This would be her fifth, I believe. So kind of just playing the rules that I like to go by. I don't like to be too high on a big-time favorite making their debut. A lot of times it just goes bad. Women's MMA, we've seen it. These fights tend to be very close. Surprises happen all the time. So I'll take the dog shot here with Sam Hughes, and we'll move on. This will be more of a tournament play. This is not something I'll play in cash. I will put a small sprinkle on it betting-wise. But overall, yeah, just a solid tournament play in my eyes. Next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Shailen Nordenbeke taking on Steve Garcia. Nordenbeke was the fighter that he wasn't involved, but it was his fight that sparked the whole James Krause controversy. He was fighting one of James Krause fighters. That guy was coming in injured. And all of a sudden, the betting line went huge. Nordenbeke was plus, well, I think he was like plus 200 to finish the fight, which I actually got lucky and I bet probably like an hour before the line dropped. And then all of a sudden he was minus 300 or some kind of crazy number because so much money came in on him inside the distance, which made no sense because he hadn't even had a finish in the UFC. I thought the matchup wise, he had a very good chance to finish, but to see that kind of money come in on him. And of course he did finish inside the distance, but that created a whole bunch of controversy. None of his fault. I mean, he just went and did his job. But that's just an interesting note. And I was very happy with his performance that night at, you know, plus 200 to finish. And obviously fighting an injured fighter, it was very easy. Won't be as easy this time around, but I do like him. He's taking on Steve Garcia, who's basically a wild man in there. He tends to be chinny. He doesn't get knocked out a ton, but he does get dropped a lot. He does get wobbled a lot. We've seen him get wobbled and hurt in recent fights. We have seen him get knocked out relatively recently, a couple fights ago. He just kind of goes in there, throws caution to the wind, You know, he can land a big shot. He can do some good things. But in my eyes, Norton Becker probably just takes him down, controls him with the wrestling, ground and pound, hopefully find a submission somewhere along the way. But I just think overall, Norton Becker is a much cleaner, much more well-rounded, disciplined fighter, and he should be able to handle business here. Again, I'm probably going to look at the inside the distance prop. I haven't seen one yet, but I do think I like Norton Becker inside the distance because his pressure wrestling could be enough to find a submission somewhere along the way. And Garcia is just a wild man. So it's not like you see Garcia going to decision every day. It's either kill or be killed with him. And in this case, I think he's going to be killed. Norton Becker, most likely by submission, but I do think Norton Becker does find a way to finish. And I do think if the fight goes long, grappling is going to be good for Norton Becker. Probably land 4 or 5 takedowns along the way, as long as he kind of sticks to the game plan, which he should, and would be a solid score DraftKings-wise. So, like Norton Becker here, solid play all around, and I do think he finishes the fight. Our next fight is in the, well, it's a catchweight, about 160 pounds. Ignacio Bahamondes taking on Trey Ogden. Trey Ogden was scheduled to fight last week. His opponent dropped out, so that fight was canceled. He stuck around. Bahamondes was scheduled to fight on this card. His opponent dropped out, so these two combined, and now they're fighting. So both guys have had what I would expect to be a regular camp. And I just like Bahamondes a lot here. He's much, much cleaner striker, longer, very well-rounded. His takedown defense is good. Ogden is solid everywhere. He's solid grappling. Striking's okay. Nothing special. Just, you know, overall, just kind of like an average fighter in my eyes. Bahamondes, on the other hand, is, at least in the striking department, he's one of the upper echelon guys. We'll see how his takedown defense really holds up. I guess in this fight, I would expect Ogden to try to take him down a little bit. But from what I've seen, the takedown defense is good. And I think it's going to take a higher level wrestler to really give him any trouble. And really, Bahamondes' striking is going to be the difference here. He should be able to win at range, kind of dictate the pace of the fight, do damage as the fight goes long, land leg kicks. Ogden does have a tendency to eat leg kicks. And overall, just kind of control the fight. I think Bahamondes is a step ahead of Ogden, and he should get the job done here. Our next fight is in the women's strawweight division. We have Lupita Godinez taking on Cynthia Calvillo. To me, Calvillo is on her way out. She can be broken. We've seen it in recent fights. If things aren't going her way, she kind of loses her will. She used to be a very aggressive fighter. She's not so much anymore. She's had some setbacks. She's getting up there in age. She's not old, but she's, you know, late 30s. And she just hasn't had a lot of success recently. The only real times we've seen Godinez struggle was when she took fights on short notice. She's taken a fight within a week. She's taken a fight within a few weeks. The week's notice fight was a week after she had just fought. So she generally gives a good account of herself, but those are two losses that she had where, you know, close fights, had her moments, but she took those fights on short notice and she just didn't look like her normal self. This fight, I think Godinez does what she does. She can wrestle. Calvillo can wrestle as well. She's a solid wrestler, but I think Lupi's better in the wrestling department. I do think Lupi's a better striker. She's kind of been developing her striking in her time with UFC, but it seems like with each fight, it improves leaps and bounds. We saw her hurt Angela Hill on the feet, which is a pretty solid feat. She, you know, didn't get the finish, but it was nice to see a good striker like Angela Hill, and she was able to land some damage on her. So I think Godinez is overall much better fighter. I think she's only getting better. We haven't seen the best of her yet. I think Calvillo on her way out. There's just no way that I can put any faith in her. So I think Lupi gets a nice bounce back here after a short notice loss in her last fight. I think she wins the wrestling. I think she actually wins on the feet as well. Mm-hmm. Overall, better fighter. She's going to get the job done. Our next fight is in the heavyweight division. Not much to say about this fight. Chase Sherman is a solid striker, kind of a volume striker for a heavyweight. He's not super powerful. He does have some knockouts. He does have some power. But overall, he's kind of below average in the UFC's heavyweight division, which isn't saying a whole lot. Taking on Carl Williams. Williams taking this fight on short notice, so that does give me a little bit of pause. But we saw it in his last fight. We saw it in his Contender Series fight. The guy can wrestle, and if you can wrestle in the heavyweight division, it's been proven, you're going to go a long way. So the biggest worry here would be his cardio holding up at over three rounds, but I think the first couple rounds at least, he's going to just keep taking Sherman down. I wouldn't be surprised if he found a finish in the first or second round, just because we've seen that from Sherman in the past. He gets taken down, and he can be dominated on the ground. So I'm sure Williams probably want to get out of there early. So go for the takedowns, land the ground and pound. We'll see what happens. But I feel like Williams should roll through Chase Sherman in this situation. Our next fight is in the middleweight division between Gerald Meerschaert and Joseph Pfeiffer. Now, this is where the card gets interesting to me. Because if you've been following the UFC for the past couple of years, you'll know Meerschaert as a dog is a problem. And I don't like picking against him as a dog because he's just burned me in the past, but I am going to do it again. Joe Pfeiffer trains with all the boys over there in Philly. Their wrestling is on point. Their cardio is on point. He has the power to hurt Meerschaert on the feet, and he's not the type of guy that's going to back away. We have seen a couple of Meerschaert's wins as a dog. We've seen him against guys who kind of either just didn't seem to show up for the fight or just kind of mentally seemed broken. And now, obviously, you know, maybe that's Meerschaert. Maybe Meerschaert somehow breaks these guys. But to me, Pfeiffer, with the dudes he trains with the style he fights with, and I've seen him in trouble in the past, and he rebounds well from that. It doesn't seem like he's got a lot of quit in him at all. I don't think he has any quit in him. So I think he's the more dangerous of the two. It's always going to be scary picking against Meerschaert just because of the past history, but I do think Pfeiffer on the feet, more dangerous, the better power. He can definitely catch Meerschaert, and I think he's going to keep a good pace. I think if he chooses to wrestle, he can win in the wrestling department. He has to be careful with the submissions of Meerschaert, but I think overall, Joe Pfeiffer comes to fight, Joe Pfeiffer gets the job done. But this is where the card kind of gets interesting. This is where I think some people will be on Meerschaert for DraftKings purposes. You can catch a submission. You know, we've seen it. So he will be live in this fight for sure. So it'll be a fun one. Our next fight is in the women's strawweight division. We have Michelle Waterson-Gomez taking on Luana Pinheiro. To me, Pinheiro definitely more dangerous early. She has very nice throws, and she does tend to land those, has a nice head and arm throw. She's very aggressive. The one thing that bothers me about her is her cardio. She tends to slow down. We've seen her, I don't know if I would say embellish when she took an illegal strike, but it seemed like she kind of played it up. In a fight where she was winning, but it looked like she might be slowing down. And in her last fight, we saw her again. She fought well, but she definitely slowed down. And the thing I like about Waterson here is she hasn't had the best string of fights recently, but she has fought a lot of champions, former champions. She generally almost always goes to decision. And I think in a matchup like this, if she does get taken down a couple times early in the first round, she's going to continue to fight back up. She's going to continue to push her pace. And as the fight goes long, I think she's going to have the advantage. We've seen her in the championship fights. We've seen her fight five rounds. We know her cardio is good. We know she turns it on later in fights. So really, all she has to do is not fall too far behind early in this one. If she has a bad first round, not a big deal. She's just got to turn it on in the second and third. And I think that's what she's going to do. I think she'll keep herself safe. She is a good striker, and she does have the ability when Pinheiro gets tired or at least slows down, she will be the better striker of the two. And I think she can kind of just outpoint her and get the job done and win, get a solid decision win. I wouldn't pick, I wouldn't pick a finish or anything like that in this one. I wouldn't even bet it by decision. I would just bet it straight up. She's the underdog. I think she's a very live underdog. And again, it's always about pace. Pace wins a lot of fights. Pinheiro pushes the pace a little too hard early, slows down late. Watterson tends to maintain a pace the whole fight, and she actually does seem to get stronger as the fights go on. This is only three rounds. She's fought in some five-round fights recently, so she's going to be training to go hard for three rounds, and I think she gets the job done here. Our next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Chris Curtis taking on Kelvin Gastelum. Chris Curtis becoming a guy that he's really just tough to pick against. He's durable. He kind of will take some shots. It looks like he's kind of losing early, but if you really watch, he does parry a lot of the punches coming his way. He does not take a lot of clean damage at all. And somehow, some way, he just keeps moving forward late in fights, and he has big time power. He has good skills. His takedown defense is on point. He's very hard to take down. And overall, he's just a very good fighter. And he started as the favorite here. The money's coming in on Kelvin Gastelum. Gastelum has a name. He's fought some of the best fighters in the world. He's been in some amazing fights. He is tough. He's durable. Everything good about him. And I understand why people would be picking him here, but it just seems to me with Gastelum, you never really know what you're going to get with him. You never really know how his weight's going to look. So that'll be something interesting to check out Friday night, or well, after weigh-ins. So whenever weigh-ins are happening shortly. But interesting to see what weigh-ins look like. He could struggle. We've seen him struggle in the past. But overall, I don't know. To me, Chris Curtis plus money, solid play. And I think it's going to be a close fight regardless. So I'm rolling with Curtis. I think he gets the job done. It's going to be a close one. It's going to be a sweat, but I'll take it. The pay-per-view main card starts off with a bantamweight matchup between Raul Rosas Jr. and Christian Rodriguez. Rosas Jr., the youngest fighter in the UFC, kid looks like he has all the tools. He's a very good wrestler. He's a very good striker. His submission skills are on point. Taking on Christian Rodriguez, who also has very good submissions in his own right. So there is a little bit here for Rosas Jr. to watch out for, but Rodriguez gets taken down a little bit too much for my liking, especially fighting a guy like Rosas Jr. And I think Rosas Jr. will win the wrestling exchanges. His transitions are very good. I don't think he's going to get himself into any trouble. And even if he does, he doesn't tend to panic. So I'm not too worried about him getting caught with anything stupid. I just think overall, he is the better fighter. The kid's a legit prospect. He's just kind of working his way up the division. No sense to rush him. He's still a teenager. I mean, it's unbelievable where this kid's at right now. But I think he gets the job done. Overall, just better skill set. The kid looks like the real deal. I think he is the real deal. I feel like we're getting a very good price on him. He's not a huge favorite in this matchup, so might as well take advantage of that while we can, before he's gets into that -800 range. But again, he's gonna step up in competition, so maybe we'll get some good value on him for the foreseeable future. But definitely getting some good value here in my eyes. I think he probably does find a finish in this fight. He is a finisher. So probably a good price on that when that drops. And yeah, I think the kid gets it done. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. Kevin Holland takes on Santiago Ponzinibbio. This is another one. Ponzinibbio, very tough dog here. Good volume. both guys are a little bit hard to trust. We saw it with Holland in his last fight. It looked like he probably could have beat Wonderboy Thompson. He probably could have finished him early on in that fight, but he decided to, after taking him down, after hurting him, you know, being in position to finish, it seemed like he wanted to have a fun fight. And then he ends up breaking his hand and he can't really fight the way he wanted to fight and he ends up losing. So hopefully he's not looking for a fun fight this time and he just goes out there, tries to finish. Ponzinibbio, not an easy guy to finish, but we have seen him get rocked quite a bit lately. Alex Morano was absolutely torching him in the last fight. Alex Morano took the fight on short notice and dropped him in the first round, dropped him in the second round. I can't remember if he actually dropped him in the second, but he hurt him pretty bad. He had him wobbled in the third round. But in that fight, you could see Morano was slowing down. He did take it on short notice, and then he did get clipped late in the fight. But really, Ponzinibbio kind of got bailed out in that one with Morano just, you know, not being fully prepared. And Ponzinibbio was getting pieced up badly in that fight. So, Kevin Holland, a much more dangerous striker than Morano, a much longer, taller opponent, fast. He does have jiu-jitsu skills, so if the fight does go to the ground, which, I mean, I wouldn't expect it to, you could see Holland pulling out a submission. But overall, I just think Holland is the overall better fighter. If he fights a good fight, he knows he needs a win, has to go out, just fight the best fight he can fight, and I think he gets the job done. I don't think it's going to be easy by any stretch, but overall, he just has the better skill set. Ponzinibbio hasn't looked great. The wins that he has had, he kind of fell behind early, came on strong towards the end. But again, you know, when you look at it, Morano was on short notice. The Miguel Baeza fight, he fell behind early in that fight. Baeza, another guy that just kind of falls off, and we've seen it recently. Baeza has not had a good stretch in the UFC over the past couple of years. So, you know, Ponzinibbio, to me, has not looked great. Kevin Holland fights his fight. Kevin Holland should win this one. Our next fight is in the bantamweight division. We have Rob Font taking on Adrian Yanez. Font, another tough, durable vet. He's going to get some love on DraftKings for sure. Solid volume. Doesn't have a lot of power. Taking on Yanez, who is a very good boxer. Has good head movement. Parries well. Rolls with punches well. Fast. Powerful. To me, Font, as recently we've seen him get dropped 5 times in the last 2 fights, which is not good. And I think here Yanez is going to have an opportunity to knock him down a few times as well. And Yanez is a finisher. So when Yanez drops you, generally speaking, he finishes the fight. It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be high volume, high pace. But to me, Yanez is the sniper here. Font, though he hasn't been knocked out, His chin is questionable, and to get knocked down 5 times in 2 fights, it's, you know, that's not a good trend. And we've seen it in the past, guys continuously getting knocked down and getting back up. They don't tend to do well in the following fights. And I think that's kind of where we're at here. Font can get off early and just, you know, land some damage early and just keep a good pace. You know, he has a chance, but Yanez is not the type of dude to slow down. Even when he does get hit, he never stops. He's not afraid to move forward, and his boxing is crisp, and he lands clean shots. Overall, very good fighter, and I think he's gonna find the openings in this fight. And when he does, it's usually not a good sign for his opponent, and it usually doesn't end well. So I think Yanez gets the job done here. I do think he has a chance to finish. I'm not over the moon about a finish because, again, we've seen Font get hurt and not finished yet. But that damage, eventually, it does catch up to you. So this could be the fight where we see it catch up to him. So we'll see where that goes. But I do like Yanez with the outside chance of a finish here. That brings us to our co-main. We have Gilbert Burns taking on Jorge Masvidal in the welterweight division. To me, I don't think this fight's close. Again, I think we will see Masvidal get a little bit of love on DraftKings because it is in Miami. Big narrative here, potential title shot for him if he wins this fight. But I don't think this fight is going to be close. Masvidal has good striking. His kicks are good. Throws heavy body kicks. Throws, fast striking, good hands. Throws heavy elbows. He's good in the clinch. But to me, Gilbert Burns is a very good striker, high-level striker, durable guy. Fought the best of the best. When he lost to Usman, I thought, just that by the way he looked, it looked like, well, he was coming off of a bout with COVID. It did not go well for him. He got actually pretty sick. Came back for the title fight. Started off pretty strong, but you could see it almost looked like his cardio fell off pretty quickly. And I just think he didn't have a good camp for that. He wasn't healthy. He took the fight because it was a title opportunity and it just didn't pay off. But overall, I think Gilbert Burns is a much better fighter than that. And I think on a full camp, he probably would have beat Usman just by the way that fight started. And I think, at his best, he's a much, much better fighter than Masvidal. I don't think it's even close. The fight goes to the ground. We have never seen Masvidal get submitted. He has fought some good guys, but not only does Burns have the good submission skills, he's also very strong. So he gets into positions and he looks for finishes. He's not like Colby Covington, who will get on top and kind of just, land a little bit of ground and pound, control. Now, this is a guy who looks for a finish. He wants the submission and he's going to go for it. I think Masvidal, he's always live. He has solid power, but really, if you look back at his run, guy hasn't won a fight in 5 years. His last win came over Nate Diaz. That was a solid win. That was for the BMF title, which he technically has never defended, but yet he's still, they still talk about it like he's a BMF champ, whatever. But that fight ended with a cut. Who knows? Nate usually comes on strong. He was doing well in that fight, but again, Nate has seen better days. And then the Darren Till win, which was quite a while ago. He was losing that fight. He lands a big one. Ben Askren throws a wild knee. So really, he hasn't had sustained success over the past 5 years. His best fight was the Nate Diaz fight. Other than that, he's been pretty much steamrolled in all his fights. And of course, he's fighting top-level guys. But he's fighting a top-level guy here. He's fighting, to me, one of the best welterweights on the planet. And I think Burns rolls through him. I think Burns could beat him on the feet. I think Burns could submit him. And I honestly don't think this fight's going to be all that competitive. So Gilbert Burns for me. And I do think he just... I think this is the end of the Jorge Masvidal hype train. It's just... He's not as good as the hype will say he is. He's just not. Yeah, that's it. So we'll move on. Main event. Now, we just saw this fight not that long ago. We have Alex Pereira taking on Israel Adesanya. This is the rematch. Adesanya was winning the main of, or was winning the last fight. He was going to win a decision, and he got caught with about a minute left and TKO'd. And so it makes it interesting because you look at it, Adesanya was winning. He was winning in the wrestling department, which was a bit of a surprise in that fight. We didn't expect to see a lot of wrestling. Izzy hurt him early in the fight. Pereira might have been saved by the bell. Who knows? It looked like that was the case. But for the whole fight, to me, it felt like if Pereira gets in a good position on the ground, he's going to do some damage there. And when they're on their feet, it was almost like, he just seems like he's one shot away. He just seems like he's the more dangerous of the two the whole time. It just felt that way. It just had that feel. And I think we're kind of going to see something similar in this one. I think Bejeda will come a little bit more prepared for the wrestling. Obviously, Izzy's probably going to want to implement that in the game plan because that was something that was working for him a little bit. But it didn't look great for either one of them in the grappling department. And to me, if Bejeda kind of closes that gap just a little bit, just maybe wins a couple positions, that's going to do wonders for him. That's going to put him in a much stronger position. He's the much bigger guy, the much more powerful guy. So when they're on their feet, we know for a fact he has the power to take out Izzy. We've seen it now twice. It's hard for me to pick against Bejeda here. He's dog money in this fight. If you look at the history over the past basically 20 years, the champion who gets the immediate rematch after getting finished, the only person we've seen win in recent history was Amanda Nunes. And obviously, with the Nunes fight, there was a difference between Nunes and Peña. Nunes was a true pound-for-pound number one fighter, and Peña came in and surprised her. But, you know, it did seem like if Nunes fought, came in on a good camp and fought her best fight, she was the better fighter, and that was the case. This fight, we can't really say that. I mean, we've seen these guys fight three times. The first fight, very close. There was a decision that could have gone either way. Izzy could have got that one. Second fight, another situation where Izzy had Bejeda hurt early and was kind of saved by the ref jumping in, giving a standing eight count. And then he knocks out Izzy in the next round. Third fight, MMA fight. First time they fought in MMA. Izzy was winning. Izzy had him hurt early. Was going to win the decision. But then it all falls apart at the end. The power of Bejeda comes through. And here we are again going, well, geez, you know, he could have beat him, but he didn't. So now here we are. Fourth time's a charm, maybe. But in my eyes, it's going to be tough. To me, if Bejeda just stuffs a couple takedowns or just can win position on the ground. He does train with Glover Teixeira. I'm sure they're focused on it. I'm sure he's going to have something in the grappling department in this fight. Kind of even everything out on the feet. He still has the power. Maybe we get the best Izzy we've ever seen. It kind of seems like that's what he's going to need to be to beat Bejeda. But for the dog money, I'll take my shot on Bejeda. He's tough to finish. He just never stops, even when he gets tired. And again, that was the first time he's fought five rounds in an MMA setting. Kickboxing, the rounds are shorter. So it's a little bit different. It's all different. So now he's got that five-round experience. He proved his power can translate over five rounds. I think it's just too hard to pick against the guy. He's very good. And I just don't think he's going to lose the grappling like he did last time. And that's going to be the difference in this fight. So talking about DraftKings cash, obviously fight, yes, I'll stack this one. No problem. I think both guys are live, obviously. And I think, you know, points wise should be decent. You know, it's not going to be a crazy high scoring, but it's going to be one. The ownership is definitely going to be pretty heavy on both guys. So there's been way worse main events to stack than this one. So this will be a stack. And then we'll figure out the rest. We'll watch weigh-ins. We'll see if anything changes. But for now, that's it. 13 fights. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun card. And I guess, well, follow me on social media if you're not doing that already. At TommyZ_MMA. Twitter, Instagram. Where else? I'm on TikTok as well. Haven't been posting on there as much, but I feel like I will be putting some stuff on there. But that, I will have my bets out. I will put out a cash core. What else will I do? That's probably it. But any updates after weigh-ins will be on there. And I guess until next time, good luck on Saturday.